Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We are going to be speaking gambling with Raisa Mzansi. They're going to be out and about, really trying to bring more attention to the issue of gambling. It's a pandemic, as many have been saying now, and they do want us to stop and reflect on that. So we're going to be speaking to Makashule Kana, who has been really on this for a while now, and has also lobbied parliamentarians to try and get to a point where this does get tabled in Parliament. And it is properly discussed and fleshed out. The South African Human Rights Commission have released the report on the concerns about what actually is happening in South African schools. Really, I think when you look through that report, you can't but just get so worried about the state of schools in this country. And none of this is new, really. But I think what is worrying is that it doesn't seem to be getting any better. On the line with us is Human Rights Commission Limpopo Provincial Manager, Victor Mabidula. Mabidula, thank you so much, Mr. Mabidula, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and the listeners.
When one looks at this report, I got the sense, certainly, that things are not improving. What was the sense of the Human Rights Commission?
What I can say from our side as the Human Rights Commission, I can say that there is a little bit of improvement. It's just that while we are improving this side, things are collapsing on the other side. I will give you an example. You find that maybe the issue of infrastructure, a school had been renovated and all those things. You find that the other school is also deteriorating. Mm. And, these are the challenges that we are facing. Because I don't think the department has a proper plan, a proper maintenance plan, if I may say. So, yeah, we have challenges like that. But from where we were back then, some few years ago, and where we are now, there is a little bit of improvement. But we are not happy. We can't say we are happy with the improvement at all. But yes, there are some bit of improvement.
Let's get into the issues that are of a concern. Unsafe environment is one of the issues that comes up in many different respects. Let's just maybe unpack that for us.
Which issue, sorry?
The safety of students at schools.
Yes, the safety of our learners at school is one of the issues that has been raised and that we have also identified. You go to our schools, for example, some of the schools here in the rural areas, in all the provinces, you find that they don't have fence. People just access from any direction, accessing the school. So some of them don't even have security guard. Those are the issues that even the principals, the educators, learners, are not safe in those environments. Anyone can get into the school anytime and cause havoc in the school. Those are the challenges that we all know, that is because you find that the department itself does not have budget to provide security officers in the schools, and they are not even fixing the fence. We have one school here in Limpopo where somebody is doing the farming, pig farming in around the school, and those pigs just enter the school from any direction and they destabilize the whole learning process. So, yeah, that is just an example, but it shows that the issue of securing the school, it can be through the palisade walls or through the fence. That is very necessary and it must be done urgently.
So maybe explain to me how you make sense of, because one could probably understand if you said to me, look, because the responsibility mainly lies with the provinces in implementing some of the improvements that are required, we don't necessarily look at national, we look at the capacity of the province. So provinces are not equal. However, in instances where, for instance, in the same province, you have resources that are not equally distributed, how do we explain that? For instance, where Rondebosch gets all the resources and other schools in the same province are less resourced, and it is the same province.
Yeah, you will understand that schools are categorized differently. We have Quintal 1, Quintal 2, Quintal 3, and Quintal 4 and 5. So all those schools that some of those schools have more resources. Some of those schools, you find that the parents are paying school fees on those schools and all those things. And we have schools in Kwital 1 where there's no school fees. Those schools are relying on the grants from the department to do whatever they want to do. Sometimes some of them, you find that they don't have money to hire security officers. They don't have anything. And that is where you find that there are crises, because parents sometimes refuse even to contribute anything. And you find principals being accused of bringing the school fees through back door. But the fact of the matter is that some of the schools are generating their income and improving their situation through the school fees, because those schools, you find that the learners have to pay school fees, but others do not have.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have noticed is that in our report, we also make a recommendation that the department must look at a structural support to those schools that are in Quintal 1, where there's no school fees, to make sure that we don't find a situation where those schools are really, really left behind in terms of infrastructure, in terms of educators' appointment and everything. Because those schools that are schools where the parents are paying school fees, you find that some of them, you find the SGB hiring educators without being assisted by the Department of Education. So it shows that they do have resources because they are receiving school fees. But others, they don't have money, and they are saving, they are catering for our rural villages where parents cannot afford to pay anything.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, for me, we cannot keep excusing the fact that government, that you know, obviously we've got different quintals, quintal one, as you said, and others, non-fee paying schools. We cannot keep excusing the fact that there are those who get contributions from parents, and therefore they then are the only ones that have, that need to have infrastructure that's sustainable, that is up to scratch. Government needs to do its bit. And I think the concern is that, are we going to just watch the inequality and government is not going to step in and take responsibility just because, you know, parents who can afford to do that are taking that responsibility?
Yeah, what I was saying, I was not saying that we must allow the government.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I understand. Yes.
So our point is very clear. There must be equality. And when we put our fight against the government to deliver in education, we really look at those schools. If you look at the report, our report, I'm sure that is a reflection of the Kwital 1 schools where there's no resources. That's why we are saying that the government must come up with a comprehensive plan to address those issues. So we are not going to allow those schools or those learners to be like as if they are in the periphery. They are not being taken serious. We are going to push the government to address those issues that we have raised in the report. And when the government address those reports, those schools are going to benefit out of the intervention from the government.
You know, a bit more to your point, when you look at the Eastern Cape, which we know anyway is struggling on many fronts, unemployment there, you know, has hit the roof, and people are starving in the Eastern Cape. Similarly, you are finding that, you know, schools just cannot cope with the needs of learners and so on. What can be done in an environment like that where there really isn't enough money to go around at all? And you can see in many other and other facets of how the society is surviving there that it is a struggle.
Yeah, you know what? What I can say is that, yes, today we have launched the report. But what we have said even during the launch is that this report is not covering each and every scenario that or every challenge that we are facing.
Mm.
We are going to stand up. You will understand that in the Eastern Cape, we have an issue of malnutrition.
Mm. Mm.
We have an issue of in the scholar transport. Mm. We have issues of infrastructure.
Mm.
All those issues that we are investigating, even if they don't form part of the report today, we are going to follow up on those issues, and the government already admitted, which means that in a situation like Eastern Cape, where the government also admitted that there is a challenge of malnutrition in the province, we cannot allow the government to give excuses about the issue of school nutrition. It means that those are the because some of the learners, when they go to school, that is the only place where they can get food.
Yeah.
So we cannot really allow the government to give excuses. When you will understand also that this report was developed and it is compiled from the information that was gathered at the beginning of the year, of the academic year, this year. So every year, we go around the Minerals Commission to assess and also monitor the school readiness. And we pick up all those issues.
Mm.
But at least now we have a report, we have recommendations, of which the commissioner also indicated that we would like to see a situation where the government address these issues without us fighting, through engagement. If it may be, if we find that the government is not even moving an inch and we want these issues to be addressed, there's nothing that prevents us from taking the government to court so that they can make resources available to address those issues.
So what are we going to do with the fact that on some level, government has presented to us a program, for instance, with regards to pit latrines and the eradication of asbestos in some of the schools that still have. They did actually have a plan. They continue to have a plan that they work with. But when you look at their own progress, when you look at their own milestones, they're not meeting those.
Yeah, we also note with concern that in most cases, you find that the government will come up with a plan on their own without the recommendation of the Human Rights Commission. Mm. And when we confront them, they will say, here's the plan and this is what we're going to do. But they continue failing to implement their own plan. So what we are going to do, this is the plan that we are calling them to come up with, of which we'll look at the plan if the plan is reasonable with the time frame. If we agree on the plan, we will be expecting the government to implement the plan. And I also agree with you that the implementation is in the provincial level, and we have MECs who are responsible and the HODs in the provincial level. But what we are going to do as the Human Rights Commission, we know that by engaging the national department, it's to have a well-coordinated plan in such a way that we know that the national department responsibility is to develop a proper planning and policies that will be binding to the department.
There are things that you point to that are quite urgent, and the state of boarding schools in some areas is quite shocking, where children are left, you know, without any supervision at all. No staff in these boarding schools. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. What are your recommendations there?
So what we are saying with regard to the schools, we have indicated that the department must ensure that in the boarding schools, the condition is improved. And we must also have a situation where they appoint the masters, matron, and assistants in those boardings. Because we cannot have a situation where we have learners who are staying in the boarding, they have no supervision, they have no one to assist. But that is the worst part of it, more especially in Limpopo here. We have a school like Stutulane where we have shortage of a lot of things. This is the boarding school of a special school.
Mm.
It's a special school, not teachers assistant, nothing. Infrastructure is very bad. But we are happy that we have engaged with the department on that issue, and we will be going there again to monitor if there is any move, because there is an undertaking that they were going to address those issues.
The issue of textbooks, it remains quite concerning. I mean, we often find this year after year after year, where you would have a province that says, we're still waiting for our resources. You know, school has begun, and all the way until the end of the first term, they have no textbooks and resources. What's your understanding of why that is?
Yeah, I think this the issue of textbook, I think you will agree with me that around 2014-15, this was really, really a crisis,
yeah.
A very big crisis. But now, when we talk about the issue of delivery of textbook, the Human Rights Commission intervened on that issue. Yes, there are still challenges. Some of the challenges are being as a result of learners moving from one school to another. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, it's Victor who is in Limpopo, and now Victor, maybe towards the beginning of the, or towards the end, towards, around December, he gets an opportunity somewhere in Johannesburg. Then when Victor moved with his kids, from here, in Bulawayo, in Limpopo, to Johannesburg. He will need to get a school there. And when we get to, when we are faced with that situation, we don't say learners must not come to school and we must not get textbook because they were not included in the number of the order that was placed with the department. You'll find that those are, that is something that we call top up. There should be a top up at the beginning of the year because learners should be allowed to move from this school to that school and all those things, others moving to different provinces. Those challenges, we have realized that this is not something that can be resolved, because if we extend that, we should not allow that. It means that we'll end up denying our children to be admitted in different schools because they were supposed to receive textbook in the other province or in another school. So, but generally, there is some improvement in with regard to that. But there was a situation where the department was not monitoring their service providers. Those people were supposed to deliver books to the schools.
Yeah.
Some of the principals were not submitting the orders properly to the department. So, but we worked together with the educators and principals and everyone who are involved in this particular issue. But the situation is improving, but we still have some challenges that need to be addressed.
I really appreciate you taking us through this report, and thank you very, very much. I believe it's going to be published on your website for everybody to have a look at?
Yes, it's going to be published.
All right. Thank you so much making time for us. That's the Human Rights Commission Limpopo Provincial Manager, Victor Mabidula, there, who's just helping us understand the report that they've released. It's a 2025 school readiness report. They released it today, and they go through all the 9 provinces. And if you can and you have a moment, take yourself to the website, and then you'll be able to get all the details that we couldn't even cover today. So really, really concerning a report here on how we're failing our children, essentially, which is not supposed to be acceptable at all.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.